Radio.com.
Thank you, Super Happy Magical World for Strange Shows. Your host, Super Silly Mandel Brothers. Weird voice from American Missy. Also, maybe including cast of characters. Crazy Kane loving Jackie Bates. Grumpy Farmer Skin Color Allergic Spark Person. And many of our happy, fun, dying people. Aussie German of Raw begins. Now!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
There's a lot to get to. A lot.
I have to ask, Rock, how many pages of notes do you have this week?
Oh, only three. Only three.
Oh, wow.
Only three?
Last week it was four, so you're getting better.
I stopped writing halfway through the Rock promo. I just sat back and enjoyed the promo.
You noted the notes on the wrist, right?
Yeah, that was... Before even John Cena said it, I was noting notes on the wrist.
Okay, just making sure.
In any event, welcome everyone to the WTR Raw Post Show here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. My name is Sir Rock, and I am the host of this very program, and along with being the executive producer of the Wild Talk Radio Network, the permanent head of programming here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the chief designer and all-around webmaster guru of my website, wildtalkradio.com.
Lindsay.
Good God!
You realize that we're to blame for this, though. I mean, what can we say?
This is the last time we give you a blowjob over the phone.
I think it was technically over Skype chat, and now we've created a monster.
You created a monster. You fed the ego.
From now on, I now deem you Rock Laurinaitis.
Yes.
Rocky. Big
Rocky.
I like that. I like that. Anyway, as I was saying, I'm Sir Rocket, joined by the ladies of the Rack, Lindsay Ward and Jackie Feist. Welcome, ladies, to the program.
Welcome.
Yet again.
Thank you for having us. We're honored to be in your presence, Rocky Laurinaitis.
Yes, you should be.
Yes, sir.
Save Teddy.
The producer.
Wait, it should be Save Timmy.
Save Timmy.
Save Timmy. Tim Stein, your opponent.
I dare you to do that same spiel on CB Radio.
Oh, I can even get more egotistical on CB Radio. I am not have.
I dare you to do it on WTR in the presence of the end-all, be-all, the omega.
Oh, I would, but I'm not a host of that show. On that show, I'm just the producer. I'm not even in the intro.
Speaking of omega... I think he's coming to call you out on it. Oh, shut up.
I was going to say, he just signed into Skype, which may not be a good thing.
Oh, Lord, what kind of rumors are you spreading tonight?
What do you mean? What did I do? What did I start?
You started all this. Or was it Jackie? I'm not sure.
Anyway... Let's move on with the show.
Why? You don't want to... Why? We can't talk about me for an hour?
Well, I'm not taking your dictation, so... We need to move on.
Fine.
I'll bake you cookies, and I'll give you Omega's cookies, but you're not getting any dictation from me. You need to talk to him about that.
Deal. We got ourselves a deal.
Okay.
Anyway, so there was Raw on tonight.
There was an edition of Monday Night Raw tonight, and, you know, we thought we were going to start off with some pro wrestling, you know, but we didn't, kind of. We started with CM Punk coming to the ring, and then he was interrupted by Chris Jericho.
So what we started with was CM Punk owning Chris Jericho's ass. Thank you very much.
I am so happy that finally, and I do not, CM Punk, it took him this long to call out the jacket. I was like, just please say something about the jacket. Finally. Thank you.
He made a few references tonight.
He made a few, and it was, I loved that promo, and I still love it just a little bit more than Roxina, because at the end of it, he left Jericho standing there a sniveling mess, trying to pick up what was left of his manhood, essentially.
Yeah, apparently also, and that probably has something to do with it. It didn't look like he was wearing underwear, it says Lindsay.
No, when they did the camera shot, when he was doing the lime and tamer, right down the back of his pants, boy didn't have any underwear on that I could see, so win for that.
That's why we have Lindsay on the program. She checks to make sure everyone's either wearing underwear or not wearing underwear, and we'll get a more detailed analysis later in the program.
What? Can I help it that the cameraman literally shoots down Jericho's back, pointing the lens right down the back of his pants? I mean, if you had a big enough TV, you would have seen that man's ass crack.
I have a 50-inch TV, and yeah, I did.
See?
Just saying.
I wasn't looking.
I saw more of Chris Jericho than I wanted to see.
I can't help the fact that they have odd camera placement, okay? But that doesn't mean I'm not going to take advantage of the situation if they do it.
It could have been Kane. It could have been Taker. No, it was Chris Jericho. Just saying.
I'm okay with Jericho. I mean, oh, come on. Like, Taker's pants are baggy enough for us to be able to see that.
Well, in a perfect world, they would be.
Same thing goes for Kane.
Right.
It's just never going to happen, honey. Just accept it now.
This is why we have ladies on to check to see how quote-unquote hot the guys are.
Oh, come on. We have to listen to it all the time. No, nothing wrong with, you know, dishing out a little bit.
50-inch ass crack.
And now trending worldwide on Twitter.
Now trending worldwide on Twitter. 50-inch ass crack. Let's recap some of the things, you know, Chris Jericho says. You know, he calls himself a special breed. You know, how he worked in Japan and all that fun stuff. That's what he says, because he was the best. He's the best at what he does. Let's see. What else could he have said? You know, he toured overseas. He took it all. He brought it all on himself. He earned everything he got. So says Chris Jericho. But he's still an egotistical ass. Punk's problem, you know, he's never stolen anything. You know, CM Punk has earned everything he's gotten. And he even dropped the Bret Hart reference. And, you know, he talked about how all the things that Chris Jericho says he has invented. This is our poll question for the evening. Who invented Canada, Tim Stein or Chris Jericho?
Tim Stein.
I was going to say Stu Hart, but okay.
Who were you going to say?
Stu Hart. Totally invented Canada.
I thought Tim invented Canada because he's invented everything. He invented internet radio. He invented the internet. He must have invented Canada.
He's going to kick your ass. That's what he's going to do.
He's not listening.
Oh, sure.
Now
you say that
now.
Now
he's going to call.
And now he's going to call.
I know he's not listening yet.
Yet. Yet being the optimal word. Please note that the thoughts and opinions of the people here on the show do not reflect those of the Wild Talk Radio Network, and our producer is insane. Thank you.
Big Rocky speaks for himself. We know who owns this network, and it sure is Elena. So we love you, Tim.
Wow. Already jumping on the Tim bandwagon? Wow. But Lindsay, you're the one who even said Tim Stein created Canada.
He was the old... Come on, Chris Jericho did not invent Canada. He's way too young to do that.
Well, and look at everything that Chris Jericho was talking about that he did. Like, Dolph Ziggler has Vicky Guerrero, but I came out with Stephanie McMahon. I'm like, yeah, and Macho Man Savage came out with Liz before you. So, you know, you didn't invent any of this. And I try to not get too annoyed, because I know this is just his gimmick, but gotta give him credit. He's really fucking annoying with it. Really?
Really?
At least until At least until CM Punk tore his ass down.
Well, because you know we all, everyone in the chat room and everyone listening, you know you just ripped him off because this whole breathing air thing that we do, he totally did it first.
He totally did that first. Before we continue on about, you know, who invented Canada and whatnot, we have a caller on the WTR All Post Show. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? We have a heavy breathing caller, but no talking in the caller's voice. Caller.
Hello?
Luke, are you my father?
No!
Caller, next time you call into the show, have something to say.
Unless that was Glenn Jacobs, we don't want to hear it. Just saying.
You don't want to hear it? You only want to hear Glenn Jacobs breathing like that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, same. She wants to be on top of him when he's breathing like that.
That was...
Yeah. I notice I didn't push it that far.
That was a weird caller. And for record, it's Tim Stein, S-T-E-I-N. Just putting it out in the chat room. Anyway, back to the show. Unless someone's going to randomly call and start breathing. I don't know what's weirder, him calling and breathing or asking what our favorite rock movie is.
Are we sure it wasn't the same guy?
Yes, we're sure it wasn't the same guy because the other guy blocks his number.
Ah.
This guy we could just randomly call and find out who it was at any time we want. Just saying. Anyway, what it boiled down to was, you know, while Punk is swimming with sharks in the WWE, Chris Jericho was dancing with stars. Which, you know, Jericho took a little offense to. But it boiled down to Tim Stein invented spelling.
Tim's spelling is now trending worldwide on Twitter.
Yes, it is. But what
damn Canadians think they invented everything.
Yeah, they do. Anyway, what it basically boils down to is, you know, they don't want pyro, no balloons, no, let's say, awesome. They just want to have the best wrestling match possible. Who will it be? Who's the best in the world, which is what it boiled down to, Chris Jericho or CM Punk?
See, I want to save my opinion on this for the end of the show, because if I give away what I think about this match, I'm going to give away my opinion of the Cena Rock thing. So I'm going to hold off on that.
I will say that it was kind of interesting the way Jericho, and like I said, he got more insecure as the promo went on, especially, you know, when he talked about the window dressing, how the promo and, or the, you know, the world is going to end promos and the lights and the jacket and the trolling and all of that was just window dressing that he, at least from what I heard, and this was again listening through my headset to Jackie's TV, was that Chris Jericho said he needed all these things to beat CM Punk when CM Punk just needs himself. And that's the way I heard the promo. I may be wrong. If I am, please let me know. I'm DVRing it now, so I'll watch it tomorrow. But, yeah, it's kind of like, it was interesting to see Jericho's insecurity grow as the promo went on until, like I said before, Punk just left Jericho sniveling in the middle of the ring and went on to wrestle Daniel Bryan.
And how does that reflect on the promos we saw tonight? The same.
Well, both promos in the beginning and the end kind of ended the same way, which
right.
is a little interesting.
And that's kind of the point that I'm seeing here. That's the trend I'm noticing.
Somebody's teasing us. Anyway. We did have our first matchup after that promo, a rematch from last Tuesday's SmackDown. CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan. Thoughts on this matchup?
Not a whole lot. Honestly, this it didn't do a whole lot to. I mean, is this whole match sold WrestleMania tonight. So considering that that Daniel Bryan and CM Punk are not going to be wrestling at WrestleMania, the only real purpose this match serves, as far as I'm concerned, was continue to sell Daniel Bryan as the cowardly heel that's willing to push AJ in front of him or pull her into him to prevent him taking any kind of a big move. So, I mean, it kind of continued to sell Bryan as a heel. Okay, whatever.
It was, I mean, again, we got it for the third time. They're really wanting us to see CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan, but they don't want to do it on WrestleMania, which is disappointing. I think it more served to further the GM feud.
Yeah, that too.
That they've decided to go on. Last year it was the announcers, this year it's the GMs. What are we going to have next? The cameramen fighting? I mean, seriously. But
I thought we were going to get the timekeepers to fight.
Again, are they going to prove who has the bigger bell or what?
Well, I don't so much mind the GMs feuding. I mean, WWE, professional wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever, has always thrived on drama. So, I mean, I don't really care who's doing it as far as, you know, who it is. But it's just kind of like, I hope if they're going to put this much into the GM feud leading into WrestleMania, I hope there's some kind of payoff at WrestleMania. I don't know how many people would want to see John Laurinaitis versus Teddy Long in a wrestling match, but as long as we get some kind of payoff and it makes the amount of money that we're all going to spend at WrestleMania more, you know, worth it, I won't complain.
The match didn't have a winner after Sheamus threw Bryan back into the ring. There's shoving and pushing and all that fun stuff. Teddy Long pushes John Laurinaitis to the ground in the ring. Santino and David Otunga try to break them up. Think in a world David Otunga and Santino are the muscle. I'm kind of scared that they're the muscle. Useless having big people as muscle, like some guy named Kane.
sorry, I contain myself. It's an excuse to put Santino on TV. I don't know, which is fine with me. I'm still not entirely sold on David Otunga. I have to agree with what Lindsay said, I believe, on the Rack last week as well as Sunday, the show last night. I'm still seeing more Otunga. I'm liking him more as a manager, more of a Jonathan Coachman meets, you know, Clarence Mason type person. There's been some complaints from people. I've never said this, but just going back to the manager thing, there have been some complaints about people about his in-ring work not being what it could be. I'm not one to judge because I've never been in a wrestling ring. Having said that, if that is the case, him taking the time to develop some more and playing as a manager or as a sidekick of some kind works.
I would pay big money for the Fink versus Justin Roberts in a tuxedo match. Is this the chat room?
Ew, if we're going to get a tuxedo match, can we pick somebody else, please? Like, you know, Edge
anybody
versus
else?
Christian. Edge versus Christian, you know. Shawn Michaels versus Triple H. Undertaker versus Kane. You know, anybody but the Fink and Justin Roberts. But I think Otunga plays a great ass kisser, but you know, just looking at him in the ring, and again, I've never been in the ring, so I can't judge his physical ability, but just watching him, he's about as excited as watching paint dry. I mean, he has nothing going for him in the ring, charisma-wise. But I think what scares me is they're either leading to a Teddy Long versus John Laurinaitis match at WrestleMania, which, oh dear God, help us all if that happens. Or we're going to get Santino versus David Otunga at WrestleMania, winner take all as far as who gets to be GM, depending on what happens.
Which, yeah, that's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
I like how you brought up the idea I pitched to you. Win. And I was just throwing out there, just, you know, see what kind of reaction it would get. And it did.
What?
I was the one who pitched to you the Otunga versus Santino match.
Were you?
To me? Really?
To Lindsay.
Oh, I was going to say. I don't remember that, but okay.
And you said boo.
Oh, I said boo. I don't want to see it, but that's probably what it's going to end up being, because if they're intelligent, they are not going to stick John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long in the ring together, because that will be the worst match ever. Like, it will be on Are You Serious Tomorrow. It will be that bad. So, they're probably going to have Santino and David Otunga wrestle each other in some capacity, which, as with as over the top as Santino it can be, that may help balance how underrated and underwhelming, I should say, David Otunga is, personality-wise, ring-wise, and maybe the balance. I'm reaching here. I'm really reaching.
I think that David Otunga, as a person, is indicative of the same problem that Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel are indicative of. It has nothing to do with the Nexus. But in an attempt to slaughter the tag team division, all of these people who are better served as tag team wrestlers have gone on to be singles wrestlers. Like, you know, going back to Heath Slater, his whole one man Southern rock band gimmick is not working. I mean, it's just not working at all. And he's probably, David Otunga is a good example, and I think Gabriel and Slater are another good example. These people are meant to be tag team wrestlers. So there's nothing to do with them as singles competitors, because they're just not, there's not enough about these guys. They don't have the look of an Undertaker or a Shawn Michaels or a Triple H to stand alone. I mean, God, it's almost like Marty Jannetty all over again with some of these guys.
They need to put Slater and Gabriel back together, because they actually made a good tag team. They were decent together, and I swear to God, if I hear Slater say Nami one more time, I'm going to slap the taste right out of the boy's mouth.
Say it. I want to see it happen.
And I honestly do believe that that's the issue with David Otunga as well. I think because of the need to slaughter the tag team division, we have a whole locker room full of Marty Jannettys running around out there. I don't really know what's going on with the tag division, but these guys are going to end up getting released. I mean, seriously, we all know that there's always cuts after the draft, and I'm like, okay, Gabriel could go. I'm almost positive Slater will go. We need to do something with these guys, or we need to send them to TNA. And it's just kind of like, we're going to be getting rid of a lot of people because we can't think of anything to do with these guys. If we don't have anything to do with them, let them go.
Well, we know what happened to the tag team division. Kane single-handedly killed it.
Which was awesome.
We're going to get there. We're getting there. Just let's catch up on the chat room. Tim Stein did not invent spelling. He just made it better, which means he screws it up more often than he does spelling things right.
Oh. Dig. Not nice.
We're just one big happy family here at the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We are. We so get along.
Anyway, yeah.
I just figured putting that out there. Worst idea, Taker's wig, Kane as fake Diesel, or Otunga for Santino for champ at WrestleMania.
Taker's wig was the absolute worst idea. I don't know who thought of it. I don't know who found it. And I don't know who told him he looked good on it. In it, whatever, but they need to be shot for it. Seriously, that was just no. The Undertaker shall not have pretty hair. And I'm done.
Nice. For those just tuning in, this is the WTR Raw Post Show live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can call in live 267-297-1397.
But you are required to talk.
Yeah,
no heavy breathing, please. Just talk.
No heavy breathing. Lindsay and I are the pervs around here, okay? Just saying.
Don't send us into any more debauchery than we already are. It's just, it could get ugly.
All right, Tim, stop feeding me numbers. I'm trying to do a show. Thank you. Okay. We're getting there. Anyway, basically what we had was a Taker video package. Then we had, you know, the greatest women's matchup in about... never. Kelly Kelly versus Nikki Bella. That was, you know... it was there.
Kelly Kelly calling Eve Torres a skank.
Yeah, pot, meat, kettle. You know, yeah. It's almost like saying, Lindsay, you are just the most pathetic Kane fangirl that has ever lived and you need to get a life. Me telling someone that is just as stupid and as bad and ridiculous. I'm sorry, but we're Kelly is calling someone a skank.
Yeah, it was just, it was bad. It was, and that goes for the match too. It was just, it's Kelly versus the Bellas. Just shoot me now. It'd be easier. I don't know why they.
I can't suspend my disbelief that much. I can't. I'm sorry. I know I was a film minor. I'm supposed to be able to do this, but I can't suspend my disbelief that much. I'm just saying.
I thought you were a film major, not a minor.
I was a radio TV major, film minor.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you like this. I spent more time reading my Twitter feed than I did watching this match.
Mm.
So you read your Twitter feed for about a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. We have John Cena versus The Miz in a WrestleMania rematch.
Did they actually call it a WrestleMania rematch?
Not really, but we did have Miz come out and, you know, talk about, you know, how he's not been mentioned for WrestleMania this year. And this was where I posed a question to anyone out there listening. Who should The Miz fight at WrestleMania?
Himself?
No one. He shouldn't be there this year. I mean,
oh, wait, I got it. Moppy. We get Moppy. Miz could wrestle Moppy or the broomstick.
Or head.
The hand.
We got one person on Twitter telling us that he should fight Yoshitatsu in a dark match at WrestleMania.
Oh, come on. I wouldn't do that to Yoshitatsu.
He's going to be in the Battle Royal.
Hey, we're Kane fangirls. Battle Royals before WrestleManias have worked very well for us. Just saying.
But you usually don't see him in the Battle Royals.
Right, but he went on to, you know, to win a Battle Royal and to go, you know, choke slam Chavo Guerrero and win, was it the ECW title in a matter of a millisecond?
Yes,
pretty much.
Because that was 6 seconds of glory for Kane.
Right. It was great.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Wow. Anyway, John Cena defeated The Miz in this epic encounter between the two. If you can't catch the sarcasm, I'll hold up a sign next time.
Yeah, it was a bit over my head. I don't think I got it.
After the match, we see The Rock on the screen as he was watching John Cena fight The Miz, and then he did the "You Can't See Me." And that's a sign that we'll see more of The Rock later on in the evening. Up next, we had, get this, a triple threat tag team championship match.
Didn't know we had three tag teams in the WWE.
I was shocked.
Just saying.
We had three tag teams, and none of them were the Usos.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Oh, go ahead, Lindsay. Sorry.
He's yelling at us. What a damn time. You were noticed that too, and you were a little surprised by that as well. Good, I wasn't the only one.
No, that was my thing. When I heard there was a triple threat tag team match, I mean, you figure we had to have, you know, Epico and Primo there. Most bullshit WWE tag team champions ever. But, what's with the no love for the Usos? I mean, seriously, if I stand up and say, that there are better, if I get criticized, I should say, for saying that there are more deserved people out there to be pushed in the Divas division than Kelly, and I get called every name in the book for it because I'm not giving any appreciation to her effort and her, I mean, why does this not apply to the Usos? I mean, at the minimum, look at the lineage that they have. You know, they have a lot to bring. And, I mean, granted, Epico and Primo have kind of that same thing, but why are they getting left out?
We have a caller on the line. Please no heavy breathing. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where you're calling from?
This is Blotty from Wednesday's.
Dude, what are you doing?
I'm up late at night with you girls.
Aww. What does your wife think of that?
She's in bed.
Okay.
Well, then it doesn't matter what she thinks, does it?
Nope.
That's right. As long as we're not on top of her during it.
All right. I'm liking this attitude.
Yeah, as long as we don't wake her up, it's fine.
Just That's don't right. tell Scott.
Oh, indeed. The reason I called them was because of the tag team match and the Kane burial of all the tag teams, and I just don't awesome. Get it. I know you squeed, but I still don't get it.
Well, I mean, to be frank, you know what it was. Honestly, he lost the match at the pay-per-view, which we all knew was happening because John had to look strong going into his match at WrestleMania with The Rock. They had to find an excuse to bring him out on TV. Nobody gives a damn about the tag team division right now, so he couldn't run over Kelly Kelly and Eve Torres. He had to run over somebody, so he boot-planted the tag team champion.
Oh, he booted everybody in that match, though, like including everybody that might have gone over during that match. The match itself was not a bad match. The match itself was probably the best tag team match they've had in a while on TV.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, it was like the only tag team match they've had in a while. So, I mean, honestly, I agree with you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled anytime he's on TV. But I think they just had to bring him back. They had to do yeah. something to bring him back. And, you know, unfortunately for whatever member of the tag team champion was, just got booted in the face pretty hardcore first. Yeah, it had to be the tag division.
Yeah, it felt like they were leading up, actually finally leading up to something for WrestleMania with that division and with that match. And that, because they do have to have that multi-man match to give everybody a payday. But it was just one of those things where I'm like, okay, so who's Kane's tag team partner? Is this like, is Kane going to suddenly have, like, Evil Hornswoggle as his tag team partner just
nice.
So he can be the tag team division?
He is his tag team partner. That's what people don't realize.
I would be interested to get everyone's opinion on this. But to be honest, as long as Epico and Primo have those belts, I think it's honestly an indication that they have nothing for the tag division. I mean, I know I harp on them a lot, but just to drive that point home, I forget which one of them it was, but either Epico or Primo, one of them debuted, like, what, 3 to 4 months before they had that belt. They had those belts.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it's like, I honestly wonder if, and I use the term placeholder. I mean, not that there's a whole lot going on in the tag team division right now, but as long as these guys, I believe, are holding this belt, then I don't think they have anything planned.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, again, just to rehash it, they got damn lucky the fact that Evan Bourne screwed up. Had Evan Bourne not gotten dinged again for a wellness policy violation, he and Kofi would probably still be the tag champs.
And that's they'd be treading water, too.
And they'd be treading water, too. They probably would have been on the receiving end of the boot instead of Epico and Primo. So, you know, it's... I don't even think they're a placeholder at this point. It's a, you know, we don't give a damn about this division. We have the belt because we have to. We got to stick it on somebody. We're going to stick it on these two.
Yeah, you got the chick in the booty shorts and the corset, so you get the belts.
Essentially. Though I do find it amusing that WWE's mindset has always retracted back to, hey, look, we have two black guys on the roster. Let's put them together.
Yeah, I said that during Raw, too. I was like, I hope that's not the only reason why these two are tag team partners.
The only thing I can think is that they book a tag team match, like a four-way dance, and Kane has hints that he has a partner, and it turns out to be Little Jimmy turning on R-Truth.
Nice.
Oh, word.
Little Jimmy and Hornswoggle will be the next tag team champions, and then we will really know there's nothing planned.
Oh,
Little Jimmy is going to embrace the hate. Oh, God, help us all.
Hey, that is how they got rid of the Cruiserweight title. They slapped it on Hornswoggle and got it the hell off TV. Maybe that's what they do with the tag titles.
Right.
He's going to hawk to rebuild his house under the ring. That's what's going to happen.
Kane burned it down.
You know, with as much time, Lindsay, as the Brothers of Destruction spent under that ring, why aren't we under there more? Just saying.
Because we don't work there, that's why.
Also, there's also the off chance that Hornswoggle climbs on top of you, and you don't want that.
Yeah.
On a positive note, at least at that point, you guys are related to, you have a kin of one of the McMahons. So.
Oh, God.
That's right, I brought that back up.
If I gotta have a McMahon, can I pick which one I want? I'll take Shane or Hornswoggle any day of the week.
Yeah, if I'm having the baby of any different McMahons, it's Stephanie. I'm sorry.
No, I'm too worried it'll get Hunter's chin or Hunter's nose. So, anyway.
I would say I'm surprised it went to this, but I'm not.
I was going to say, how are you surprised? Do you know anyone in this conversation?
I'm used to it by now, so I'm going to...
Just the stunned silence indicates you're not.
No, I'm trying to figure out a way to transition into... Thursday night, we have a special interview with Trish Stratus. She was chatting on WWE.com, but guess what? Don't care about that. She's going to be on this very network this Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the show called The Rack.
Here's how you transition. She's going to be calling in from under the ring.
Better than Kelly, who'd be calling in from under a wrestler.
Oh. Hey, Bautista's gone.
Wait, wouldn't that be under Vince McMahon's desk? That's the only way she has a job at this point, isn't it?
Could very
hey,
well
my
be.
Girlfriend was horribly impressed by the fact that she could bridge backwards without breaking her back.
Oh, of course she can.
Speaking of Hoskies, we had an Eve promo.
Oh, Jesus.
That actually, you know what? Lindsay and I talked about that a great deal after the promo was over, and I'm of two minds of this promo. First of all, there is a certain amount of truth to the thing Eve Torres was saying. I mean, she's pretty hot, okay? And if you trot a woman out there like that in front of her, take her to, like, maybe half the guys on the planet and say she's going to use you, she's going to abuse you, she's going to take your money and run, but she'll sleep with you and she's hot, they will lay their checkbooks down.
Oh, it was the brilliant part about, like, Michael Cole asking Jerry Lawler if he would let her use him, and Jerry Lawler's, like, 30 seconds of silence as he thought it over.
Right, right. So she makes a very good point. There was some doubt on Lindsay and I's part as to if Eve Torres has the chops to actually pull this off. But I personally hope she does. I mean, one thing that I will say for Eve Torres, she is deeper into this storyline than any woman has been in any storyline in a long time. Because women to this point have been very be seen and not heard. Put your short shorts on and your bra on, go out there and shake your ass for the wrestlers, you know, put your ankle on the top ropes and grind your hips around with your vag showing to everybody, Kelly. And, you know, and don't do anything else. And she's actually stepping out into a storyline and getting involved, and big ups to her.
I have to say this, that while she can cry on cue, and I will give her props for that, she needs to work on her acting. Seriously,
and her
if
laugh.
You're gonna and her laugh. If you're going to play the role of the man-eating, gold-digging bitch, go watch the old Trish Stratus tapes. Go watch the Stephanie McMahon tapes. That's how it's done. And even to a certain extent, Sable, Tori Wilson, Dawn Marie, go back and watch those tapes, please, because that's how you do it.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
The one thing I will say about Eve Torres is that, like, when she was cutting that promo, there's part of me that was wondering if there actually was some acting there and that she was... Now, mind you, I might be giving her way too much credit here, but it seemed like she didn't really believe everything that she was saying, so it might be one of those things where she isn't, character-wise, isn't fully invested into what she's saying yet, and then she will eventually get to that point, that she's just kind of trying to convince herself, and it would make it a lot more easy for me to swallow than like the sudden turn that she had last week on Raw. It would make it a lot easier to swallow if suddenly she was doubting herself and what she was doing.
Yeah, Lindsay and I had discussed that too.
I don't see them doing that with the fact that they completely, totally botched the heel turn with her, the fact that they didn't do a gradual progression into it. And they've just now gone full tilt. We're going to turn her heel, make her a bitch. It doesn't feel like that. She's standing out there, and maybe she herself is having some doubts in the character, and that's what we're seeing. is that she's not quite sure what she's doing with it or what they're going to do with it, and so there's it's showing through in her. Because honestly, I'm sorry, I don't think she's that good of an actress, but it could be. But again, the whole character is just schizophrenic right now.
Yeah. If you get a chance, if anybody DVR'd it and you care enough to go back, and I think the best definition is watch her entrance. I don't know if it was the character or if she is still adjusting to being booed, but she seemed bothered by the boos that she was getting, you know, going to the ring, like she was upset by it. And I'm like, here's the thing. If you're going to play a money grubbing, man eating bitch, and if you're going to play that role, and if you're going to go out there and use someone the way you want us to believe that you used Zack Ryder and intended to use John Cena, then you better go out there and you better make it look like you didn't do anything wrong. I will promise you, I remember seeing a promo with Trish Stratus in a bubble bathtub ooing and awing over diamonds given to her by Vince McMahon. I'll promise you, that didn't bother her too much. That she was spending another woman's husband's money on diamonds for herself, probably taking a pink champagne bath. She didn't care. The only thing she cares what those diamonds were hers, and she was the one sitting in the champagne bathtub. And exactly. I think that's kind of the thing that Eve is either she's unsure with the character or it's somehow, it's just part of the kayfabe that maybe she's feeling guilty, maybe they're trying to turn her back to face, I don't know, but I would suggest she go watch a little bit of Trish, a little bit of Sable, and understand that either you believe in what you're doing or you don't. That goes to the real Eve playing the character and the character herself.
I also think they're making a huge mistake not putting her with another wrestler. I think having her feud with Kelly Kelly is the dumbest idea ever. It really reeks of desperation on their part. Put her with the debuting Claudio. Like, he already has that money-making Swiss gimmick right there. Put her with Claudio and have her and him feud with a returning Zach. It's an easy way to get Claudio over with the crowd immediately, which you need to do anyway, because the guy is talented as hell, and you don't want to just throw him out there cold. You want to have some kind of push behind him. So if you have somebody like Eve who already has that heat machine gimmick going for her, and you have that heat with Eve, and you transition that over to Claudio, that's perfect, especially putting him in the feud with Zach right away. And that Zach is technically upper mid-card. He changes depending on who he's feuding with and how the fans are reacting to him that week. They've certainly tried burying him. But putting him in there with Claudio, the fans still care about Zach, and so the fans will care about Claudio by extension.
Right. Yeah.
Putting her in there against Kelly Kelly just does nobody any favors.
Well, I mean, you have to look at it. I mean, how stupid do some of the writers think we are? Like, we're gonna jump on Kelly Kelly's side, calling Eve Torres a skank.
Yeah.
I'm like, the woman who lives and breathes skank juice is now, you know, coming down on Eve, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, it just doesn't work.
Whoa.
And then it had the added benefit of Kelly Kelly's random, like, friend that just shows up for no reason and stands next to her. And you're like, what the hell was the point of that? Why is she standing next to her? Because she has absolutely nothing to do unless they end up putting Eve with Karma and doing a tag match.
Oh, God.
And she walks out onto television in public wearing essentially a bra and panties. And she's calling Eve Torres a skank. I mean, seriously, come on. I mean, that had to have been planned for irony, really. I mean...
Yeah, I don't get WWE's the Divas division has always been one of those that I never got the WWE's mindset. I don't get what the writers are trying to do. I don't think they know what they want to do with it in most cases. The only time it was really great is when it revolved around Fit Finley's girls. Fit going out there and putting these girls out there and really pushing them. And then when they were still able to do risque storylines. So they could put them out there with the Mickey James, Trish Stratus kind of lesbian-esque angle. They can't do that anymore, so you're stuck with conniving bitches versus virtuous skanks.
Well, and also they limit themselves. I'm sorry. I mean, we all heard, you know, the comment made by Laurinaitis that if they're not Playboy material, they're not to be hired. Well, okay, honestly, seriously, we've had Playboy bunnies in the WWE for how long now, and they're not getting over. I mean, it's just
not. And you
not
don't do
working.
Playboy anymore, so what's the point?
Thank you.
The point is that they're not meant to get over. The Divas Division has been a joke for a long time. They're there for the tits and the ass and the cooldown matches, the piss break matches. Nobody cares about the Divas Division, not even the company. The only point is to it is so that everybody can go get a drink, go get a snack, or go take a bathroom break when they're on. And you saw it when they panned out over the crowd, I think it was a couple weeks ago, for one of the matches after a Divas match. I think it was Tamina's match or something like that, where the crowd was dead. They were sitting there like, okay, can we move on now?
I actually thought that was one of the most brilliant pans ever. I wanted to give that guy a raise.
But, I mean, it emphasizes the point that nobody cares about the Divas Division, and that's the whole deal.
Why even give them storylines? Why not just throw them out there, let them die, and then get them the hell off television? Why spend 20 minutes on a story that nobody gives a fuck about?
Because they can. I mean, at this point, I don't mind them being there. I would rather see them be managers or valets because they would make more sense as that.
I agree.
And have them occasionally mix it up in the ring for storyline purposes, but to have a full-blown Divas Division when you're not going to do shit with it, there's no point. I mean, again, Beth Phoenix is your Divas Champion, and once again, she's not on TV this week. You have
Because there's no competition for her.
And you have Natty Neidhart on SmackDown, who has a flatulence problem. That's the best they can come up with for her. A flatulence problem. Are you for real?
Yeah, they're stupid. And the thing that kills me is that they're pushing this Kelly Eve Torres thing, which seems like it might lead to a WrestleMania match. Well, at the same time, Trish Stratus has talked about coming out of retirement for a match with Beth Phoenix, which would also be a Mania match. So you're going to really do two Divas matches on Mania? That's going to be tough.
Right.
I'd actually rather see Trish versus Natty, but that's just me.
Oh, I'd rather see Trish versus Natty as well. I think Natty is the more talented of the two women. Don't get me wrong, Beth Phoenix is incredibly talented, but if you were to put Karma in there with either of those two, I'd rather see her with Natty because they could work a really good match against each other.
Yeah, but they're not going to give us that because then we're going to actually continue to expect to see quality matches from the Divas Division. And personally, since I don't see Kelly walking around wearing next to nothing as quality television, you know, I mean, why get our hopes up?
Unless they do AJ. AJ will gladly walk around with Daniel Bryan at all times. AJ, as I've said to Jed on Facebook, I said, I will bend over backwards for AJ. I will take the Zack Ryder bump through a metal grating if AJ's teaching me how to heal up.
She's actually at least being used, and this goes back to the Eve Torres thing. I kind of had to wonder when she was on NXT. I'm like, they do realize she's like 90 pounds, right? But I mean, it's at least if she's being used in some kind of useful manner on TV to make the show that we're watching better, great.
And she's actually pretty good at her role. She actually, like, you get empathy from her.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where, like, why can't they do this with more divas where it's an empathetic character that is with the heel that you... It's the Randy Savage. It's Randy Savage and Elizabeth with Daniel Bryan and her.
Because, again, they don't want to do that. That takes too much effort.
And we've seen how much effort they put into SmackDown. So,
right. Oh my god. The biggest storyline on SmackDown is the GM feud. That's sad. I don't even care about their title match. That's even worse.
So, you were talking about who would Trish Stratus fight at WrestleMania?
Could we ask her that?
Could we find that out? Is there?
I don't know. Could we?
Is there a possible way?
Is she going to be on someone's show?
I
she's going to be on our show.
Yes.
We should totally ask her that.
And maybe we will. Shocker.
Actually, you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing Trish Stratus come out of retirement just to whip the Divas Division into shape.
Thank you.
Instead of tough enough, well, give us tough enough, but just take the Divas back to school, basically.
Trish Stratus Boot Camp, coming to Monday Night Raw.
That would be awesome.
I would watch that.
Me too.
I think everyone would. Just, you know, just saying.
Just saying.
Just because, you know, just to talk about her, I was kind of disappointed at how they minimized her role on Tough Enough.
Yeah, I think it might have just been one of those things where she was not as charismatic as Austin and Booker T, and so there wasn't as much stuff that they wanted to put on TV, because WWE is all about the charisma and all about the moments on those types of shows. Like, pre-taped shows, they're all about those moments. And so if Trish Stratus isn't providing as much charisma as Austin and Booker T, then she's going to get shunted to the side.
And also, how much time were they going to give the divas versus the men's roster anyway?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And look what she had to work with. She maybe had one or two really good talents, and that was it.
Yeah.
Versus the guys who were, you know, they had three
really good talents.
You know, so it's like, it's like, really? I mean, granted, I loved watching Bill DeMott kick Rima's ass. I took great enjoyment and pleasure from that. But don't you think it should have been Trish Stratus taking her ass to school?
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, I agreed. And I think Trish Stratus on, like, a Divas Bootcamp type thing would be really interesting, just to see, like, Eve Torres wouldn't have to fake cry then.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You get Trish, you go find Ivory, you bring her back, you bring Jacqueline back.
Oh my god, I know.
And you have the three of them send the Divas through boot camp, and you see who survives.
Tara's not doing anything. Throw money at her.
Yeah, bring Tara back. Oh god, Fresina would, like, just shit himself if that happened.
Oh man, you would have Lindsay, Jackie, and Forsina in the corner squeeing at random times throughout wrestling shows.
You don't need a wrestling show for the two of them to squee, just saying.
Yeah, trust me, he's heard us do it without any type of motivation whatsoever.
Anyway.
Poor Rock. What you have to go through.
But he loves it.
I do, because, you know, that's why I'm the head program director of the Wild Talk Radio Network, and, you know, the executive producer, the head program director?
Head of programming director.
Yeah. Let's see. The guy who created the website, the chief webmaster.
Just made another dollar.
Yeah, and all that fun stuff. Anyway.
Tim Stein's best friend.
Tim loves me. You know, he wouldn't have a website without me.
Right. He would, but it would scroll, like, way over to the side.
Hey, I didn't take that shot. I stayed out of that one.
Sorry. Tim, not it. You heard who took it.
It wasn't
me. Go after
me.
Her.
It did scroll way over to the side. I know you remember that, Rock. You're what, it scrolls over to the side. Just stop messing with it. Let me fix it.
I didn't take that shot. It wasn't me. Stand out of that one. I take my shots. Woo. Jackie, I think you're fired now.
Oh. Ouch.
Which means welcome to the family.
Does that mean that I have to start lusting after Kane?
Yes. You're the only one, the only other one in the room that will do it, because I already know Rock won't, so you get voted in.
Sweet. I'm going to ask Trish Stratus how hot his flames are.
There you go.
She knows. She was that close. She knows.
Although I hear he wasn't impressed with her mammary glands, so.
Oh, that's right. I totally remember that. That mixed with the You Complete Me thing just made me want to cry.
Anyway, moving on, now that we've
there was more of Raw.
Moving on, we have a caller on this show. Welcome, caller, to the WTR Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I have to call him because you guys are expecting it. You're all fired except Rock. Rock, you have to work twice as hard now.
I already do that. Just saying.
Just saying, yeah, I have to work twice as hard as you've been working last week.
Now he has to do all the cane lusting by himself.
Jackie, you're fired.
So what's on your mind, Tim?
I don't think Brian Blotty knows me well enough to take SWAT shots at me in the chat room, so you better cease and desist, otherwise I'll sue him.
Oh, God, I'm not going to have to call a lawyer for you two. I've already got him on speed dial for Omega.
I'll just call a Tunga.
You really want to be defended by David Bowtie Otunga?
No, not really.
Think before you speak.
Although I hear he's undefeated, so maybe.
I hear Clarence Mason's available.
Right. I'll just hire the ghost of Johnny fucking Cochran. I got shoe polish. Three, two, one.
What's on your mind, Tim?
That's racist!
Oh, no. That's just to expect it. There's a difference.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about. All I heard was somebody took a shot at me, so I had to call in and fire them.
I love how it's only pointed out when I take a shot at Tim.
We don't do it on air.
Thank you.
I just do it in the chat where I can deny it and claim that it's someone else.
Okay, yeah, that's Kurt Angle. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you see, that doesn't work when you actually identify yourself by name in the chat room and then admit to it on the call.
My
just
word.
Saying. It's just saying, thing. Bitch. Just saying. So, Brian, how long have you been lusting after Kane for?
Ever since he was practicing dentistry.
He's hardcore.
Yeah.
But question. Yeah, have you been a follower since Jack Package?
I oddly enough, I've actually been a fan of Kane during the Unabomb days. That's how far back I go.
I like this. I like where this is going.
Me too. It's a win for me.
Welcome to Kane Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's the Kane host show.
We've been pretty good.
How come nobody has pointed out that they're doing the Rock Cena angle between Punk and Jericho, but only smaller scale?
We haven't got that far yet.
Yeah.
I held my tongue on the Jericho Punk thing for that very reason.
We're getting there. We have a format, but we sidetracked. And we have a
screw
format.
The format! Let's talk about it the way I want to talk about it.
Hold on, Tim. We're almost there. We have a match to discuss, then we'll get to the Rock stuff. Okay? Okay?
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Fuck it, do it live.
Okay, we have a match. Big Show and Sheamus took on Cody Rhodes and Mark Henry.
That wasn't a match.
It went a minute. It was an official match.
It was a Divas match.
There's like four of them tonight. So we have to, you know, talk about it.
I feel bad for them because they got gypped. It's like, you know, you're basically, they're like, okay, go out there and screw around for a minute or two and then come back so we can send out Cena and Rock to run the show over by a fucking half hour.
Right.
Well, you have to realize that Cody Rhodes.
They buried Mark Henry.
You know, one person talks at a time on the show. Just saying.
Yes. Go ahead, Rock.
Yes. Cody Rhodes and Mark Henry are both hurt.
Just want
to point that out.
I understand that they're both hurt, but why trot out Mark Henry for a squash? Like, if he's hurt. It boggles my mind why Mark Henry's trotted out there. And I understand Cody Rhodes being protected. Cody Rhodes absolutely is going to be competing at WrestleMania, so you have to protect him. Mark Henry probably is not because of his injury. But why do you keep trotting out Mark Henry and just basically decimating what little respect that was left for him after the great world title run that he had?
Injuries suck, and now you do the job. That's basically what happens to him right now.
I guess. But he's, the thing that kills me is that it's not like he's taking, like, really light bumps. He took a spear from the Big Show and then a kick to the mouth. Like, how is that light work?
He's not moving. He's just standing there taking the move.
Didn't enter the groin area, so it's all, you know, it's all subjective. He'd go out there, do the job.
So yes, that was the match. We had a Floyd Mayweather clip, and it's either leading to either Cody Rhodes versus Big Show, or Cody Rhodes bringing in Shaq to take on Big Show.
Also, the fact that they actually allowed blood in 2012 on air, uncensored, is amazing to me.
That's happened a few times in the last few months, and I hope it continues.
Yeah, a little blood is fine. A lot of blood, though, is just like, okay, that's uncalled for. But, I mean, Mayweather punched Show in the nose. He bloodied his nose. I don't understand why you would censor that. It's reality. It's what happens. You know, you do it in the schoolyard for kids. They'll see that.
But they've censored it in the past. They've grayed out. Like, they've gone to grayscale for things like that in the past. So the fact that they're no longer going grayscale, like, their DVD division got away from it. And WWE 24/7 got away from it. But now it's good that they're getting away from it on actual television. And it wasn't just an accidental color. It was purposeful color in that particular instance.
Right. Well, it's... I think we're moving back towards that more edgier era.
God.
Where they're starting to grow up with the fans a little bit, draw people back in, and with them bringing all the Attitude Era guys back, I think they're trying to push that envelope just a little bit. I mean, it's not necessarily the return of the Attitude Era, but it's them pushing the envelope away from PG.
I think they're doing what a lot of like networks do, which is after the 9 o'clock hour, they can get away with a little bit more. So they do a little bit more. Like, they make sure that it's after 10 o'clock, either the kids are in bed, or why the hell is your 8-year-old up at 11 at night watching wrestling?
So we got through that one quicker than I thought.
Really? There wasn't that much to talk about it. I mean,
there was no pain.
Yeah, that was longer than the match, man.
I know. Anyway. Because finally, The Rock is back on Monday Night Raw, and he had goosebumps.
And notes on his wrist.
He did have
notes on his wrist. And see, Lindsay and I, at least I didn't pick up on the goosebumps. I was like, why does he keep flashing his arm at the camera?
I have USA and HD, so I actually saw the goosebumps. I'm like, oh, cool, he has goosebumps.
I have HD. I have a 50-inch plasma TV, but I did not catch the goosebumps. I was just like, why does he keep showing us his arm?
He even said it if you read his lips.
Yeah, I don't care to read his lips, so...
You were still lusting over Kane. It's okay.
The only pie eating that's going to be done on Jackie.
Wait a minute. If you're going to use the phrase pie eating, the name Jackie, you better hold off until Omega joins the call.
Are we getting Omega on the call?
No.
So we can't talk about it.
Oh, thank God I don't have to type up a press release. Yay!
Well, basically, The Rock said he wouldn't, you know, he came back. He never said he'd be here every week, which we all knew, but some people took it as he's going to be here every single week and, you know, made a big deal about it. Like John Cena did on TV. You know, without WWE, there would be no Rock. Yada, yada, yada. And, you know, he loves the business. He brought up being, you know, when he was a babyface, he actually used the term babyface in a promo.
And he used the word promo in a promo.
I know.
And he used the word Kung Pao bitch, which was the most ludicrous insult I've ever heard.
But it was funny.
That was 50 points in Rock Scrabble.
What's 50 points in Rock Scramble?
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Where Rock just randomly makes up things like Fruity Pebbles and crap like that. It becomes Rock Scrabble. It's what the hell did Rock just say?
I thought you were talking about our Rock. I was like, wait, what?
No. Words with Rock. There you go. The new term, Words with Rock. Because, you know, Words with Friends is such the big thing around here.
It's trending on Twitter, I hear.
I thought The Sims Social was the thing around here.
All that, too, and Lindsay's still on the campaign for WWE Social. Sims Social.
Yes, I want a Sims version. A WWE Sims version. I want that.
Didn't we get that yesterday?
I did find stuff for you, but, you know. Anyway.
There was no Undertaker and there was no Kane.
Yeah, well.
But there was Lita.
There was Lita, and Omega cringes every time you bring that up.
I know.
So he brought up Randy Savage, he brought up Steve Austin, he brought up Mick Foley, you know, he brought up Roddy Piper, hell, you know. When he was the face, he was getting booed, which was, a true fact, and, basically he pointed out how, he was never fighting for the other boys, but John Cena apparently is fighting for the boys while The Rock's fighting for the people. He's doing it for the people and the millions watching around the world.
So and Rikishi.
And Rikishi.
He's paying it back.
Cena came back out, he picked up on the Kung Fu chick, the Kung Pao chicken reference, how it's in all Chinese stores and it's always there, like he is, which was, I thought was clever to tie it all in. He did bring up the, notes on the wristband and all that fun stuff. Basically, what do you guys think of this segment? We'll start with Jackie.
Going back to what I said about kind of holding my tongue as far as the CM Punk, Chris Jericho thing, and now this promo with The Rock and Cena, two very big similarities. Number one, Jericho and The Rock came out and did their thing. They're great at doing it. That's why they are the legends that they are and the Hall of Famers that they will be. But at both point, they came out and they did their thing, and the current generation guy went in and flustered them. And for all of the people who are salivating and foaming at the mouth about we're finally getting the Attitude Era back, that, we got Kane with the mask, and we've got CM Punk, and Chris Jericho and The Rock, and The Undertaker came back with his long hair, and or possibly coming back with short hair, maybe going back to a previous gimmick. I don't want to start that huge conversation here again. For everyone that's happy that the return of the Attitude Era is coming, I hope everyone realizes that this is just the Attitude Era passing the torch onto CM Punk, onto John Cena. So this is good. I'm happy to see the Attitude Era people back, but this is them, people are on the smart marks. Oh, they're finally doing what they're wanting us to do. No, they're not. They're putting us to bed.
Tim?
No comment.
Then why did you call in?
To fire people. I told you that.
Wait, you were so eager for us to get to this moment and then you have no comment? Really? You evil bastard!
He's got his pinky to his mouth like Dr. Evil right now.
Yeah, I hate to agree with anybody about anything, especially when they're right. But the Attitude Era is not coming back. I mean, like, wake the fuck up. We've moved two steps beyond that. This is a kind of a passing of the torch, yes.
Anyone else want to chime in about this segment?
The fact that you have John Cena own The Rock and leave The Rock flustered and standing there, I think was absolute genius on their part. The moment was just so amazing. And the same thing that CM Punk did, it's like you began the show that way, you ended the show that way. And it was just really two great moments in the whole show. But again, I can do without the manginas, the lady parts, Cena's missing balls, Kung Pao bitch. If that's all The Rock has anymore, where he's just gonna throw sexual references and food references, then pack it up and go away.
Yeah.
Throw a real insult or go home.
But wasn't that's always been The Rock's character, though. He's always been the one to throw out the insults and the jokes and the quirks and all that fun stuff. That's what his character has always been about.
Yeah, then maybe...
Oh, go ahead, Lindsay, I'm sorry.
Maybe I've grown up, because it's just, yeah, it was cute in the beginning, but, you keep beating that dead horse, and it's like, I want to see two men feud, not two boys. And if you guys are going to act like boys, then just do this on a Monday Night Raw, settle it, and be done, because I'm so over it at this point.
it's kind of worth noting that, you know, we have the return of The Rock and we're all supposed to be so excited for WrestleMania. I don't know if he's still filming a movie right now. I don't know what's exactly going on, nor do I care. But it's like, in lieu of any actual in-ring action that we're expected to see from The Rock at WrestleMania, kind of like a Survivor Series when he didn't take any major bumps, he's just going out there and running his mouth. And it's kind of exactly why, you know, the torch does need to be passed on, as far as The Rock is concerned. He set a precedent for being a shit talker when he was who he was. But now that's almost passé shit talking. And at this point, he sounds like everyone else.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, so the WWE is not full of a bunch of shit talkers?
Not like The Rock. There's a big difference between The Rock and everyone else. They're completely different. If you look at The Rock, he's a star. As much as we love everyone else, do you see how the crowd reacts to The Rock unlike anyone else?
No, I think I see some similarities between they react to The Rock and the way they react to CM Punk.
Not as loud. Not even close. The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock.
The Rock blows CM Punk out the water. As much as I love CM Punk and how great a job he's doing, The Rock blows him out the water.
Yeah, The Rock has his own pop that it's like a Road Warrior pop, but bigger. You know, it's like Austin, it's like, you know, Taker, Austin, Rock, all these guys have their own pop that it doesn't even rival what's going on with CM Punk or any of the other younger guys right now.
I think it's a combination of nostalgia pop and this is a star pop though.
Right.
Like, it's the same pop that Hulk Hogan used to get. And that, like, and Hogan would get that pop on a consistent basis when he was not on TV all the time. I'm sure if The Rock was on TV every single week, and he actually did come back full time, it would subside to a point. Not, fully subside. You would still have a CM Punk-ish pop every time he walked the curtain. However, I think that The Rock's main drawing point right now is the fact that he only shows up once every 6 months, every 3 months, whatever the case may be, and usually he shows up on film. He doesn't show up in the ring that often, so when he shows up in the ring, especially in Portland, which he's never been in Portland before in his entire career, when he shows up at a venue live like that, of course he's going to get a huge pop. He's A, movie star, B, he's part of an era that was the largest era in pro wrestling history. But also, it's The Rock. It's that nostalgia pop. It's the same pop that Foley and Nash and Hogan and et al. Down the line got when they would come back for that one time. And then it subsides. Not to the point that I think The Rock is going to walk out at WrestleMania to nothing but people sitting on their hands, but at this, I think if The Rock were to show up on a consistent basis, you would not have that deafening pop every time you walk the curtain.
Basically, yeah. Nostalgia is the perfect word. I mean, he's not been around for a long time, and I just have to believe that that had a lot to do with what we got tonight. He cut a great promo this week, but you're telling me that if every single week he went out there and do that, that it would be that over every single week?
He would be over more than so any other wrestler. On a consistent basis, yes. But you don't need The Rock every single week. He's a star. And that's what you have to do with some of your other stars on the show, like a John Cena. You don't need him on TV every single week, because when he would show up, it's a bigger deal.
You don't want The Rock showing up every single week or every other week, specifically because you do not want to dilute that reaction.
Correct.
Right,
but in that sense, it's a
nostalgic thing. This is not The Rock is this huge star that he gets this all the time. This is not him going out there and being better than everyone else. This is we use you sparingly, thusly you get this pop. If he goes out there and does what he did every week, give it some time, and people will be just as over him as they are over Cena.
And we're also not in the superstars era anymore, where you can keep consistent guys off TV for months on end. You're not in the superstars era where you have a guy pop in the little corner talking trash about the guy taking on a jobber in the ring. you're in a different era. You're in an era where you have these guys show up every single week, and we're not in the Attitude Era where they're drawing 8 points on television every week. So everybody knows these guys. Everybody's going to pop for them because the arenas are sold out for these guys. Was Portland sold out for The Rock? Absolutely. Would every arena be sold out if The Rock showed up at every arena? Absolutely not. It would eventually, you dip back into what the WWE is going to do, which is you end up either A, you end up with writers that are going to overwrite him, or B, you end up with people just, they just get sick of him. They're just be like, okay, he can only feud with John Cena once. Then what? Is he going to feud with The Miz? Who cares? Because you treat The Miz like garbage. Rock came up during a time period where there was legitimately 5 or 6 big-time main eventers that he could take on at any one time, and you could have him feud with them throughout the year. That's now no longer the case. And it's partly the WWE's fault for not building these guys up as stars, for not being able to do that. But it also is partly the fact that the fans just don't care anymore. The fans have left pro wrestling in droves. And so you have a good base, and you have the beginnings of a really good youth movement where you have a lot of young guys and young kids and teenagers that are starting to watch it again. But it's not to the Attitude Era level where everybody was tuning in every week, where it was rivaling Monday Night Football almost in, I want to see this. I have to see what's going to happen next.
I agree wholeheartedly. We're never going to get back to that. Alan Wojcik made a really good comment on our podcast one time that these feuds begin on Monday Night Raw and they end on Friday Night SmackDown. They don't put enough build into these characters for everything that I don't like about The Rock. He has been and will be an icon in this company forever and in the business forever. But we're never going to have another one like that, like another Undertaker, another Shawn Michaels, because they're not willing to put enough time in to get anyone that over. Okay, you sold 100,000 t-shirts, you know, you made this much money, so now we're going to move on to the next guy. We're never going to have that ever again.
But they're getting better at the storyline development thing. We are not seeing feuds end on Raw, on SmackDown when they start on Raw. They are building week after week after week. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but they're trying stuff. Back to the point with The Rock. Okay, there's one other point about it. I said, how about stars, you know, gotta keep them off TV. You don't have to keep them off TV, keep them out of the ring. Yeah, that's one problem they have. They put everyone in the ring every single week. And that's why no one's buying their pay-per-views. But that's another topic. But that was the point I wanted to throw out there. If you make people want to see someone, that's how they become a star. To pay to see people fight. And that's what people are gonna do at WrestleMania, they're gonna pay to see The Rock fight.
Yeah, me and Jed are going to pay to see The Rock fight. Like, we've already discussed it, and we're going to go see The Rock. Like, it's not just The Rock, though. It's everything else that's happening at WrestleMania. WrestleMania is an incredibly well-built card this year. They've done a really phenomenal job, in my estimation. I know certain people disagree, but I think they've done a great job.
Right. It is a good card this year.
Yeah. I also think that, like, I don't know if anyone else felt this, but the promos between CM Punk and Chris Jericho and The Rock and John Cena, is it just me or did it seem like they were taking shots at each other? Like, The Rock, when he first started talking about, like, I'm not here every week and I know it and there's somebody back there that's taking shots at me. And he never said Cena by name. I think that might have been a tip of the hat to, I know what you're saying about me, Punk. And Punk with Jericho was using Jericho basically as the stick, the fill-in for The Rock. He was saying the same things that he would say straight to The Rock's face. And I really do think that part of the reason both those promos worked so well is because of the fact that there actually was animosity between those two guys. And so the promos that both of them delivered were legitimate and heartfelt because it was towards each other, not towards the person they were, the makeshift partner that they were in the ring with.
It's getting real, and that makes good for TV.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I would not at all be surprised if it came out that Cena had that comeback written for him by Punk. If he was not back there with Punk, and Punk told him exactly what to say to The Rock's face. He said, say exactly this. and you will own him, and you can walk away, and he will not be able to say a damn word back to you, except for his damn catchphrase.
Yeah, these promos tonight seem to be more about one generation to the next than any one individual to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're heavily pushing
that. It sold me on both matches when I was not sold on either match all that super well. The storylines building up to these matches, the Rock-Cena match was absolutely one of those matches where you're like, oh my god, it's the Rock-Cena, it's a one-time-only type thing. And it didn't need a ton of build, but this actually makes me want to actually see the match instead of just wanting to piquing my interest because it's happening. And same thing with Punk and Jericho. Like, I was interested in the match because of the wrestling involved in a Punk Jericho match. Now I'm interested in the story. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't know why they did a Battle Royale and they didn't just do this promo to set up this feud. Because this was perfect. This was exactly how you set up that feud and bring my interest in. There was absolutely no reason for Jericho to win a damn Battle Royale to get a title shot. All you had to do is say, have him come out and say, as Punk said, come out to my face, tug on me, and say, I think I'm the best, and you have my title.
As much as The Rock, you know, everyone, you guys were talking about how The Rock, you know, did his little catchphrase and that stuff. You saw more realism from The Rock than you normally do.
I'm not taking anything away from The Rock. The Rock's promo was great. It did deviate to that Rockism, like, busting out Kung Pao Bitch and busting out Fruity Pebbles and letting the crowd chant about his balls, which I thought was a great chant. I thought it was worth it.
That was pretty funny.
But the Rock did go back to those things that he leans on. And it's The Rock's character. It's what he does. And he was more real, but at the same time, he did go back to those catchphrases. And Cena seems to have gotten away from the catchphrases. Right. Cena doesn't do the you can't see me Rock thing. He seems to be a little bit more real in everything he does. He doesn't pepper it with his catchphrases like The Rock does. Not to take anything away from The Rock. The Rock's absolutely electric, and it sold me on that match, that promo. But I'm just saying that I think Cena absolutely is doing the work of his career leading up to this match, and The Rock is doing the best work that he can do.
The Rock has been off TV for a long time. There's not been any development to the, there haven't been a whole lot of development to the character of The Rock. So he's kind of leaning on things that he's used that have got him over in the past. And that's kind of one thing where he's going to be hurting is he's going to have to come up with some kind of a something to develop the character to keep people interested. Cause again, this can only either that or they're going to probably continue to keep him off TV until WrestleMania because it's the same old Rock.
They're not though. The Rock's
going to
be on TV.
Yeah, there's a couple weeks from now they're doing it again.
He's going to be he's going to be there next week. He's going to be there the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that, and he'll be there at WrestleMania. We're going to see a lot of The Rock. And, you know, he leans on his catchphrases, but the one thing that does, it gets the people involved. And that's what he's always been good at, getting the people involved.
I don't think he'll be on TV, but there's not going to be a whole lot of development. That was ultimately the point. They're trying to push WrestleMania. So of course, ultimately, yes, as one of the selling matches for the pay-per-view, he's going to be there. But I would venture to say we're probably going to get a whole lot more of what we got tonight. And again, going back to the point that was made before, how much can you continue to put the same old shit on TV before people are going to start to be over it?
I don't think they're going to put The Rock on, put him out there just to do promos, though. I think, A, his promos will actually start building. I think The Rock is going to see that he has to bring it to a level. He has to match Cena in intensity. And when that happens, that's when The Rock's promo, I think the promo before WrestleMania is going to be absolutely phenomenal. But I also think there's going to be some physical altercation between now and Mania. I do not doubt that there will be some kind of physical altercation because, again, they can't just have them come out and talk to each other because it will get old. There's a reason why they kept Triple H and The Undertaker off TV this week and just ran a promo video. It's because they can't just have them talk to each other week after week. They can't just have The Undertaker have a video saying, I'm going to beat your ass at Hell in a Cell. You have to have something to put in between there to give the people something to salivate over. And I think that's what they're going to do with The Rock. I don't think he's going to show up next week and just cut a promo. I think you're going to have things that lead to people salivating. You're going to have physical altercations. You're going to have things that make people actually really want to see this match. It's not going to be like a wrestling match. You're not going to see The Rock wrestle, but you might see The Rock deliver a rock bottom to somebody prior to that and look up at Cena and be like, your ass is mine. So I can see something like that happening. I can't see them just leaning and saying, hey, go out there and cut a promo. You've got 30 minutes or however long USA allows us to overrun.
That's kind of what happened tonight, wasn't it?
They pushed the limits.
Oh, it is.
Tonight.
But it's the Rock's first time back since SummerSlam, so do that.
Because no one's begging for a Burn Notice rerun at the moment. Just saying. I think that was what was on after it, or White Castle, White Plains, whatever the fuck it's called, was on after Raw. I don't think anyone was too worried about that, so.
No.
Well, that was the longest overrun I've seen since probably 2000, 2001. I mean, they haven't gone that long in a while.
They did last year at this time.
Did they?
With The Rock, same thing. They ran super long.
I don't remember that. Right, I may not have seen it.
I think USA is okay with them running over with The Rock.
Yeah, he's the star. He's allowed to go over.
Seeing as I think WWE Raw is like their number one rated show. I don't think they care.
No, I don't think they care. Before we let you go, Brian, because we let you actually talk on this show. Any final comments about the show? You want to make?
It was actually a really solid Raw, beyond the little filler, but the stuff that actually mattered really mattered, and I was really, really quite thrilled with the way that Raw came off this week. I think that it was the strongest Raw they've had in quite a while, and I hope they build on this, and leading up to WrestleMania, they stop with the filler bullshit. They don't have Kelly taking on some bimbo for no apparent reason. Like, I hope that they actually, this is the road to fucking WrestleMania, do every segment should be building to that pay-per-view. That's your money right there.
Alright, thank you for calling in this evening.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome to call in any time you want.
I promise not to talk as nearly as much. I can't promise it at all, unless I'm fucking.
Well, thank you for calling in tonight. Appreciate it.
Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
Night.
There you go. So, with that, Tim, do you have anything you would like to plug or anything?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. Then, you go to your general thoughts on, overall opinion on the show. Good, bad, indifferent? Or you didn't pay attention to Raw?
Don't ask me about my opinions on the show tonight.
Wow.
What's 2 plus 2? No response? Anyway, Jackie.
So what's the next topic?
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, that's my response. Now shut up.
Oh, by the way. What happened on Saturday? What happened Saturday? Crickets?
I bought a $6.49 ticket and won $2. Forget it, Rock. Fuck off.
What happened to the Flames on Saturday?
No. What did I just say?
What happened?
What did I say?
Did they lose?
God.
What did I say?
Did they lose? To the Flyers? I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Oh, he quit. No, he was all big about. Oh, they're up 2-0 on the Flyers, and they lost to the Flyers. Just saying. Just throwing it out there.
All now right. Rock is fired.
Jackass, don't misrepresent. All I did was type in the goddamn scores as the goals were scored.
I know
don't
you, Tim.
Misrepresent.
I know
bad
you,
Rock.
Too.
Bad boy.
Bad boy? Bad, really? Okay. Jackie, what were your overall thoughts on
I liked everything overall. I did not enjoy the Rock segment as much as I would like it to, as like I did. It got better for me once Cena came out. I'm really enjoying the build to WrestleMania. My only question would be, and yes, I would ask this question, since we are on the build to WrestleMania and since we did see Kane this week, even if it was only for 2 minutes, could we be possibly looking at a match for him at WrestleMania? I mean, he was kind of brought out.
I don't know what they're doing with Kane. and you probably only get 2 minutes of them each week.
Hey, that works for me.
Lindsay, what was your overall take of Monday Night Raw?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I didn't like the filler. You know, the matches were the matches. It was just kind of like, eh. It was a good way to start the show. It definitely got you interested. They kind of lost me on the whole Divas, Eve Torres thing. You know, it's just like, okay, whatever. Don't know what you're going to do with you yet, but we'll see. But overall, yeah, it was good. It was decent.
And one note, probably what's going to happen next week is Teddy Long's going to run Raw, and John Laurinaitis is going to run SmackDown next week.
Yeah, that's my guess, too.
But yes, in case you missed it, the Raw GMs did, or the GMs got into some fisticuffs tonight. Somebody got knocked down, and there's now a announcement coming down from the board of directors tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. on WWE.com, that Teddy Long, deciding the fate of Teddy Long and John Laurinaitis, which I'm stunned that the board of directors can stay up that late, but go them.
Well, there you go. So we'll talk about it, you know, probably on Thursday, what the ruling was, maybe.
You know, if we're not too overloaded with the awesome, the one, the only Trish Stratus.
Wait, she's going to be on the show?
She's totally going to be on the show.
she's going to be with us on the show? Wow.
And we're still going to beg our way into the Brunette Mafia.
Wow. Yes, we are.
The world must not be listening to other places. They're going to be listening here for Trish Stratus. That was a shot. That wasn't a shill. That was a shot. Damn. Get it right.
I like how everything was capitalized except shill.
But it was leading to a shot. Just saying. All right, you want a good shield, Tim? You want a better shield of the
God.
Trish Stratus interview?
Oh, Jesus.
Waiting for him to type out the response or say something.
Now he's not going to say anything.
I know. But anyway, we're going to have a great interview with the one, the only, the seven-time former WWE Women's Champion, Trish Stratus, live this Thursday on The Rack. You'll hear it. See what I did there? So tune in, 11 p.m. Eastern, on The Rack to hear from Trish Stratus. But before we get to Trish Stratus, tomorrow night on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, we will have the WSU champion Mercedes Martinez on the program to talk about her upcoming fight against the number one contender and WSU Spirit champion Jessica Havoc, who will be on the program as well. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, it's just another goddamn wrestling show. Jed and Scott, they'll have their cheap wood paneling and they'll talk about the news of the week. Saturday night, it's CB Radio. Check that out. And all that other fun stuff. Sunday, what are we doing, Tim?
You're going to be fired.
radio show.
What's that called?
Just another goddamn Russell Talk radio show. What, you don't like the name change?
Somebody's in a mood today.
I am not. I was just assuming you were referring to me.
Yeah, I was referring to you.
I think Tim needs a hug.
I know. Somebody give Tim a hug. I'm in Texas. I'm all the way on the other end of the continent from Canada. It's just saying. Rock, you're closest. Go give
no,
Tim a
No, he's not.
No,
Utah's a lot closer.
Utah's a lot closer than Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, Lindsay.
All right, come here, Timmy.
I don't think he likes the name Timmy.
Don't call me Timmy.
Okay.
But, yeah, the Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Sunday night.
Oh, you wanted me to, like, promote the show and, like, do a plug and shit like that?
Yeah, I wanted you to show your own show.
I could do that.
Then do that.
Well, all right. Don't forget to tune in this Sunday night, 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, 10 o'clock Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. And despite popular rumor, I just might be on the show this week.
Hey!
Awesome.
Yeah. actually going to be dropping a couple of news bits concerning my wrestling promotion called Canadian All Pro Wrestling. And you might want to pay attention to what's going on. We are just a couple of shows away from awarding our first ever title in Canadian All Pro Wrestling. We've kind of sort of done things a little bit differently. All these promotions that spring up throw out the heavyweight title first. Well, we're actually going to crown an intercontinental title champion first.
Hey!
Nice.
Yeah, we're working our way from the bottom up, I guess you could say. Instead of the top down.
You're not gonna have like 50 titles, right?
No. We're gonna have the IWA Commonwealth title. We're gonna have the Canadian All Pro Wrestling World Heavyweight Championship, and we'll have a ladies' title. We actually have women wrestlers, not divas, not knockouts, women wrestlers.
Nice, got my vote.
And of course, we'll have tag titles.
I asked you to shill your show, not your promotion.
Well, I'm shilling the promotion while I'm shilling the show.
And those two things have one thing in common, and what's that? Something green and a fist.
They're all about me, and I'm only green because I ate something bad for dinner?
No, I was...
No, they're sponsored by Uber Fist. Hey, it's a fistful of fun. It's a lot of fun. Giant, oversized foam fist. You put your frosty cold beverage right in the middle, or your nice piping hot beverage right in the middle. It keeps the cold drinks cold and the hot drinks hot. It's a lot of fun. It doesn't hurt when you punch your significant other when the other team scores.
I think they have an Oilers fist as well now. Or glove?
We won't talk about that one. That's probably one of the four that we won't ever promote. That's just all there is to it. So quit bringing the damn thing up. Because the Oilers suck. And that's all there is to it.
But if they want to get one, how do they do that?
Well, all they've got to do, actually, is get in touch with me. There's a special, a special price for the Uberfest if you buy them off of me, as opposed to going to the Uberfest website, which is easy to get to. Just click on the Uberfest banner, and it'll take you right to their website. But get in touch with me, admin@wildtalkradio.com, or shotwtr@wrestletalkradio.com. Get one of the three available, because I refuse to sell the fourth, and you'll save $5, only $20 Canadian plus shipping.
Any, ladies, you have something you want to plug?
In case we didn't make it obvious, we're going to be interviewing Trish Stratus this Thursday, so come by and check it out, 11 p.m. Eastern, wildtalkradio.com. Trish Stratus. Be there.
Trish Stratus. And you can follow me on @LynnsWard on Twitter. You can follow The Rack @WTRV_Rack on Twitter. And again, Trish Stratus, 11 p.m. Eastern, only on Thursday.
Okay, is it just me, or is there something wrong with Rock asking two females who host a show called The Rack if there's something they want to plug?
Not touching that with a 20-foot pole.
We don't have enough time, or I would.
The time is up. The time is now. This has been the WTR Raw Poker Show live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Nice segue.
Check out Bashing the Books on the podcast. See, I got the plug in this time, Mace.
Hi, Mace.
So
really piss him off and talk with a fake Australian accent. G'day, mate.
For Tim Stein, for Jackie Vice, for Lindsay Ward, for Brian who called in. We'll see you next time on the WTRL Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
By the book, bitches.
By the fist.
That's not what it meant.
WildTalkRadio.com.